A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Yisrael of Cherry Hill. Shabbos Pei Vav, Shabbos 86A, pagination page 171, on the fourth line, a new Mishnah. Minayin lipoleta shechvas zera. How do you know that a woman who emits the seed from intimacy, biyom ashlishi, on the third day from the intimacy, in other words, there was cohabitation, they were together, husband and wife, and that liquid that coming from the man makes him a balkeri, and he has to go to mikvah before certain things, before he eats certain types of holy foods, or there was discussion in Maseches Brachos whether he should have to go to mikvah before he learns Torah. So if that liquid comes out of the woman up to the third day, that she's going to be tamei based on the emission of that liquid. As the pasuk says, by Matan Torah, when the Torah was given at Sinai, heyu nechonim l'shloshes yamim, that they had to separate from each other, from husband and wife, from intimacy, for 3 days before Matan Torah. Why did they have to separate? Because the man has it easy. The man just has to withdraw himself from intimacy for 1 day, go to mikvah, and he's okay. As long as he didn't have any mission, he's fine. But the woman, up to 3 days before of cohabitation, her body nurtures the seed, and it's still considered viable, and if she had an emission, she would be considered the level of Toma, and she would then have to go to mikvah. If so, she would not be fitting to be present at Matan Torah, because she's the status of a Balkeri, because she had an emission of something that gives that level of Toma. And therefore, in order to include the women in Matan Torah, they had to separate from each other for 3 days, no cohabitation for 3 days, in order that if a woman would have an emission, it would be already after 3 days, and the seed is not viable 72 hours later, and therefore does not give her that level of tumah. So again, to keep it simple, what is going on here? In order to include both men and women in Matan Torah, in that great moment of revelation, so the men and women had to separate for 3 days before, so that the women should be included. Now, Taisvis, in the top Taisvis, observes, number one, Afal Pisha Ba'osa Shah Adayin Lo Nitna Torah, outer commentary, second line, even though at that point the Torah had not yet been given. So you're telling me about Tumah and Taira, whether they would be Tumah at the time of Matan Torah, but Torah wasn't given yet. It makes sense that what's going on over here is that these concepts of Tumah are being practiced based on the truth of Torah, even though they were not yet commanded. Similar to what we find that the Avos observed Torah, even though it wasn't commanded, because it's the right thing to do. These are truisms. Asks Taisvis, Ve'af al gav, and even though, Delo ekpida al zavin u'mitzorayin u'bo alinidos, why shouldn't everybody have gotten ready even earlier, somehow? Because zav needs a week. Mitzorayim need more time to get into the camp. Boale Nidos, Rahman al-Litzlan, the case where a man is with a woman who's a Nida, so there's more time needed in order to purify themselves and get ready for Matan Torah. So Taisus explains that there's a distinction, not all Tumah is created equal. Balkeri, which comes from lightheaded, frivolous, more laid-back behavior, is different. As we learn by the concept of Balkeri, that we don't find that a person who is Tamei is limited from learning Torah. in the case where they used to be careful, what we call tevilas ezra, to go to mikvah after cohabitation, we don't find that other types of tumah had any sort of limitation. Tosfos says, Zavin, Mitzorah, Neboah, Linidos, these types of tumah, mutarim likrus b'Torah, they're permitted in Torah, that's not a problem. Mm-hmm. It's only, as Tosfos concludes here, Bali Karyon Asurim. This limitation is limited to this type of emission that has to do with cohabitation. Pirish, the Balkari, Eina Be'ema of Yira, because he doesn't have the reverence necessary to study Torah. The Machmas Kalus Rosh Huba, because it comes from a light-headed perspective. So even though it's very interesting, at times it's a mitzvah. But they needed a demarcation after that mitzvah is done to bring the person back into the mind frame of Torah. The two are not compatible according to the standards that are being described here of Matan Torah. And again, going back to the status of a woman is already 3 days out from the intimacy. But it becomes the essence of the tumah that this liquid, when emitted, causes a certain tumah, and that would apply to her as well. Now, this concept of shichva zera coming out of the woman having a status of tumah has a very practical ramification regarding the way that we observe hilchas nida, because we're aware that in order to purify herself, a woman, after her cycle, after it starts, has to wait 5 days, which we describe as being allocated for the cycle, for the blood to flow. And then, at the end of the 5 days, she gets her earliest chance to do hefsek taira, to separate towards holiness, and then she counts 7 clean days. And the question is, what is the function of those 5 days really? So, in many cases, it makes no difference because she can't get a clean reading in the bedikah cloth anyway. So, 5 days, 6 days, it makes no difference to her. But there are women who clean up faster, they have faster cycles. What is the essence of the 5 days? And to jump to shorthand over here, it's all based on this 3 days of Paleta Shechva Zera that we're worried that if there was a cohabitation that would be within 3 days, within 72 hours of the clean days, she could possibly emit Shechva Zera on the first of what she's calling the clean days. Mm-hmm. And the result is that it's not a clean day. And she wouldn't even realize it, because what's coming out is Shechva Zera. It could very well be coming out white and clean, and she wouldn't even realize. Therefore, because we're worried that a person might miscalculate the sunset time, etc., and they could have had cohabitation, depending on which day and how, they instituted a full 5 days, that it's not until the end of the 5th day that she could do her hefsek taira, because she might have been with her husband, and this is based on the miscalculation, plus the 72-hour, a full 5 days gets allocated for this process.
So 2 extra days, it's like for margin of error, basically?
Margin of error, well said. Yeah. There's a fascinating Ramah trying to explain exactly what the margin of error that they were worried about, but that's what it boils down to. What's fascinating is that if the woman could not have been with her husband, then she doesn't have to count all 5 days. For example, if it was Yom Kippur, so that it was impossible for them to have been together, that day could count as the first of the 5 days, even though she didn't have her flow right away. Mm-hmm. But that day would count. Avelus, if they're in mourning, they're prohibited. If it's a strict, true prohibition, not just that they were separated for logistical reasons, if they were truly separated, then we could count that in to the concept of the 5 days. Let's stop there. Yashar Koach. Have a wonderful day. Great Shabbos.